department, are they better or worse off than the rest of the public service? And I think on the question, firstly, what we would notice on the question of whether the department is improving or not, or changing, in our picture, you'll see there's lots of green on that changes from 13 to 14. So for us, the department has definitely shown quite some improvements from 13 to 14, based on what we measure, and yes, it's not always, we don't always measure the same things as the Auditor General. But unfortunately, if we look at 2012, there has been a bit of regression in some of the standards from 12 to 13, and then they were up, they went down, and then they went up in 13 again, or in 14. It's not uncommon for that to happen. We have, unfortunately, some complacency that creeps into departments. If they're good 1 year, then they don't focus so much, and even they will focus on the red stuff and forget to maintain the good stuff, the force and those things. So it is a natural one, but the department seems to be doing quite well. They've improved from 13 to 14, and they've also they sit in about the second quartile of departments, so they're in the second sort of group of performing departments if we assess them to each other. So you'll see that also in a majority of cases they're above the public service average. But as it may, that does not mean they can improve. They should always strive to be better. So if we look at the standards itself, strategic management, APVs, we didn't have an issue with. The M&E standard, the one that the department did not meet was to have an evaluation done of one of the policy areas or function or services they deliver. So we are, as DPME, trying to instill a culture of continuous evaluation and those things. So we are recommending that the department starts really looking at evaluating its policies and the implementation thereof. So that was on strategic management. But overall, we think it's not a bad area for the department. Within governance, for us, the area of big concern is the professional ethics one. You'll see the scores one. The department, the senior managers, did not all of them complete the financial disclosure. So it is definitely an area of concern. And I think for us, the purpose why we present today is that we would want the committee to just ask these questions to the department and help us also get the accountability and performance going. So in governance, yes, professional ethics is for us an issue. The internal audit unit, we have a requirement where they have to do a quality assessment from time to time on the effectiveness and the quality of the internal audit function, and the department has not done such assessment. So I think it's part of the evaluation review culture. Let me start checking and seeing whether we're doing good or not. The other one is the PAHIA, the Access to Information Act requirements, and there is a requirement within PAHIA. They have certain reports that the department must issue. They unfortunately, and there's a requirement that these reports are translated into three of the local languages. They did not meet that standard. So I think that's why their scores were so low on those ones. So that was this governance. I hope that I sort of focus on the areas where we've got ones and twos, where the department is not compliant. HR planning, the 331, the HRP1, the department seems to have got all the plans in place and those things, but where they seem to fail is on the implementation and the monitoring of the implementation against those plans. So they have not met some of the requirements around implementation reports and those type of things. The organizational design one, for us, the issue is about that not all their positions are funded or based on falls within the MTSF. We know they are in the process of negotiating for funding, but we're saying a principle is that you cannot approve position if you don't have funding for it. So first you'll find the funding and then you can start approving those positions. Human source development, it seems to be an area of concern because there we don't see evidence that the department has the necessary plans and policies in place. They're sitting at draft at the moment, so we would say it's an area that the department should seriously look at. Diversity management, So on diversity management, and you also see HR planning, organizational design, and HR, they fall under the national average. So the rest of the public service are doing better. So the department can definitely fix those ones. Diversity management, the department sits on 40% of their senior management is female, and they only employ 0.56% of people with disabilities. So that's one area which they should also. And there is some policy and some framework that EPSA requires the department should have in place to manage the whole diversity within the public service in the department, and they also don't have those things. It's more about the implementation. They have, again, the plans and things in place. It's about implementation reports and monitoring of implementation. So the department does not always seem to be, they have plans, but they're not assessing and taking those plans through. So then on the health and wellness, it's also an area where the department are still only having draft policies in place. So we'd want the department to focus on that as well. The performance management for the levels 1 to 12, they do seem to still have some backlog assessment that needs to be done and finalized. And then we have an administrative requirement that must capture the performance management outcomes and results of PASHAL as well, so that we can do proper monitoring thereof. So, and then on labor relations, there is a requirement that all disciplinary cases should be finalized within 90 days. So it's a benchmark that was set by FOSAC. The department does not seem to make those deadlines. We do have a issue in the public service from time to time where we put people on suspension, but we don't charge them. And then, we take quite a long time to finalize cases. So sometimes we go look for evidence to charge people with. And it's an issue that we would want. If memory serves me correctly, I don't think the department's got lots of cases. I think there's two cases that are still, one at this stage, outstanding and not finalized within 90 days. So I think that's the human resources. And if we reflect a bit on the human resource management, the department only scores 3 and 4 in 4 of the 11 standards. So it is an area of concern. GOCO is the department which definitely delivers its services via its people. So for us, it would be crucial that the department actually provides the necessary attention and on that. It is, unfortunately, however, also generally a weak area within the rest of the public service. But again, I think we're not saying that justifies them not performing on this area. In financial management, The one issue was on demand management. The department does have procurement plans, but they couldn't give us evidence that they have demand management plans and how. And then for us, obviously, the demand management plan should inform your procurement plans and going forward on those things. And then the last item which we would have concern of is the payment of suppliers. And the big criteria that we assess there is whether the department pays its suppliers within 30 days. And unfortunately, it does seem the department has missed some of their payments. And then subsequent, if we seeing that the department are failing to pay all its suppliers within 30 days, we would then require the department to do some investigation and an assessment as to why are we not paying our suppliers within 30 days. And then, obviously, from the assessment, we would expect them to learn the lessons and then go forth and not do it again. And fix those things. So yeah, I think in brief, those are the areas that we are concerned about, and we would like the support of this committee to engage with the department and see how we can take the improvements forward. So I think the next two pages just give some of the detail which I've discussed. Again, for us, the recommendations is yes, the departments must go forward and develop improvement plans and those things. And maybe a point to stress, the department has just finished the 2015 September assessment. So they should already start working on improvements on those areas that they themselves have identified as weaknesses and not wait till we only release the final scores after the moderation, the challenge period, everything. Final scores only come out at about March, but we're saying they should not wait for that. So I would recommend maybe the committee can ask them about their strategies and what have they improved and what have they identified this year already as challenges. And then also, like, we are not just always assessing the department. Yes, we assess departments, but we also assess the policy. Because sometimes we find that the policy is sometimes the problem. So we have a process where some of the policies are not really adding to our performance in the public service, or sometimes actually getting our performance to be weaker. So we have processes on the way to review some of the policies, and cabinet has approved that we have a standardized policy review process. I think that one is that. Thank you. Thank you, Chair and honorable members.
Thank you very much, Mr. Stafonte. And now Khatebe and Mukhalapa.
Thank you, Sir President. From the look of page 8, on the issue of the professional ethics and fraud prevention, basically, I think that the report tells us that their code is an outfit which is very fraudulent and unethical, so much I agree. Really, those ones, they actually refer to that. We'll have been expansion on that, yes, because, you know, when you look at the way South Africa is received, abroad, yes, we are respected very highly, but I see that here, the internal assessment of our own government said that we are having a fraudulent and unethical appeal. So I think that one is the consequence of this point. And then number two, Chairperson, on the issue of demand management, we could see from the report of the Auditor General that there's a lack of skills in particular on supply chain management. Are there any institutions which the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation can recommend so that the public servants can go and train on supply chain management? Because if they are not properly trained around that area, it means that we always have a problem, because it's a new area. When I was still at the university, we never had that thing. Supply chain management, it was not there. It was not there. The issue now is, did this department, as the one responsible for performance, did identify or partner with the higher education institution to ensure that the courses of this nature are being provided? The last one, Chair, or no, the other one would be the issue of the disposal management. The issue of disposal management will go together with asset management. I see that they get a rating of 3. It means that things are good there. But you go to the missions of one of the various missions abroad, you ask them there, you know, speak to the ambassador, which is a particular problem here, that according to the asset register, there were 12 caps, silver caps right there. I found 12 silver caps, but all the asset register say it's 24. And then I've always been curious about that. So what I'd like to ask is, there a disposal policy on the side of the department to deal with such issues? The last one, but not least, is the issue of the audit committee. I can see it on page 10. On the issue of the audit committee, I put a question mark around that. The AG gave me the green. They're very comfortable with it. So now I think it's a contradiction from that. Can you explain that? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think the assessment of the BTME is more or less in line with what the Auditor General has just presented, apart from those discrepancies that are there. The Audit Committee, which is a major one, but I think maybe it might be because of they are saying they are auditing in September, which is in between the audit years. So I'll just give it away to them on that one. But I'll await to hear their explanation on that one. I think Honorable Radebe has taken the governance and accountability and the financial management. I will deal with the issue of human resource because of, I think, it seems as if they are scoring low in most of the performance outputs. And I think it will confirm with why the vacancy rate is so high in the department. And what needs to be done, because of one thing that they've done well that we can give to them is to reduce the amount of months since the advertising of a post towards the filling of the post. We can give it away to them, and I think here you're giving them 3, which is quite fair. But I'm worried about the issue of the disciplinary cases that takes, and I think the AG also has raised it to say we need to have feedback and turnaround time in terms of disciplinary cases. And this PMDS, the Performance Management and Development System, I think 1 to 12, they are scoring low, and the reason would be why. And then while at the other senior management levels, they are scoring high. Is it a question of they assess themselves around the boardroom as senior management while neglecting the most important, which is the foot soldier between 1 and 12? Because if that assessment is not done at that level, then what does it say about staff morale? You can have the generals that are hyped up, but you can have the soldiers that are low in morale. You know, it doesn't serve a purpose. You'd rather have the soldiers that are high in morale so that they can take the battle. But if you've got, and the issue of diversity as well, what's wrong with the department that they score so low in diversity? I mean, if they sell our foreign policy, they should be showing what South Africa and our nation is about and why they go there in terms of scoring less in diversity.
Yeah. The key performance. Just looking at this, and then you can see that really there is a problem with the internal audit of the department. And I think the internal auditors of the department are here. And the message must go to the accounting officer that we must really keep up this area. And on the issue of the peer group, is it peer group review or what?
Peer review mechanism.
Peer review group mechanism. Is it done by other DDGs or what? Who is responsible for that? And with this push, is no any other consequence, is no consequences or remedial action in that regard. Because two is hopeless. So there should be a remedial or consequence. So something must be done. But however, really, we encounter social intro class, you know, your do internal investigation on your own performance. I think it's an excellent tool. I think.
I think it was a very interesting tool. You mentioned that one method you didn't have a clue what was actually expected of you. So, and I'm wondering if you couldn't explain to us what professional ethics is indicating, what is expected of them, because we read the words and we assume we should know, but actually it doesn't really sort of mean anything. And then on that, what will give the department a clue? Obviously you're going to give us a clue now, but what would you think any department getting a one and not having a clue then has to do so that we can kind of understand it? On the wellness thing, is that perhaps the problem, because obviously I've seen our plans are in place or the problem, or whatever's needed to be there. Is that maybe the problem, that sometimes plans are put in place that are unrealistic to implementing them? Again, wellness is one of those words. Now you imagine if everybody has to get to gym every day but you're working 24/7, you're not going to get there. That's sort of the picture that comes to my mind. Or is it, for example, when somebody in our embassy in Iran goes, gets a stomach ache and dies? I'm sort of wondering at what level is the wellness, what is it referring to? Perhaps you can enlighten us with this.
Okay.
Thank you for the question. Actually, I just only one question or two. I'm a bit confused. When you look at the KPH rating of the force, they mean that according to the KPH, there is at least improvement. But my question is, what makes the risk management to be so rated as compared to the KPH? And secondly, on the issue of asset, we had just asked the question, but my question would be, do this, as you said that in committee, the asset register must be the tool that is used to audit this asset. Now, my question would be, on this audit, do the audit be movable and also the broken, because some of these items are items that, to my understanding, maybe they are not in use. Are they also, do they also form on the same register, or you audit them alone, not specifically with those that are still in use? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kenyan. From my side, I was just wondering, I see that you've done good work with the in-house assessment of a department. You could actually correctly assess it. But in a department like this, which is foreign affairs, where it must advise the presidency and therefore government on choosing and I'm going to say it's correct ideological, political, economic sense for the country, for the growth of the nation state itself, in the interest of national interest. Because you see, a department like this must advise that these are troubled waters, you don't navigate there, and this side you think there's economic advantage, and let's keep this one and that one, and this is military dead, and let's belong to that part, and let's not belong to that part. See, there's all kind of things. Are we able to assess an environment like that? And are we able to, in the context of a capable developmental state, able to benchmark that there is this so-called first world that you could say South Africa look like that country because this is the capacity it deploys in the various areas. I'm just talking about the entire state, and you may not necessarily be able to answer that because the department would be a sub-state, a subset of such a state. But in-house, I think you make a telling observation. Your formulation on absence of, on the reasons for downgraded scores, you see that page 10. I don't understand the formulation under audit committee. It's very vague for me. But it says there's no evidence of assessment of audit committee by stakeholders. I don't know who are the stakeholders, and evidence of audit committee reviews on management responses. I don't know which one of it seems there are two thoughts here, but I don't know exactly what you want to extract out of that. For me, it could have been formulated differently. Now, on this payment of suppliers, because when you assess departments, you know why a certain department is rated number one in this area of work. It is number one in paying the supplier. Now here we say there's no proof that delays on payments of suppliers are investigated. Why should they be investigated? Rather, we should be saying why they are not complying. Because if there's money for that item, for tires, or for telephone, or for rental, or for salaries, or for whatever, why is the money delaying? Something like that. I just thought, let's pick that one up. Yeah, and thanks for your recommendation. Now, the issue of wellness, on the one hand, you could easily think it is not a matter for the state. People must take care of their health. But they can't serve the state if they are not well.
Yes.
And this much we picked up in the Department of Education at some point when many people were actually absent all the time. Different illnesses, let's not mention them, including stress. Now, clearly, schools were suffering, so people are absent for this and that reason. They provide medical certificates. So, obviously, the state will suffer. Now, whether the state, the question is whether the state is obliged to spend money and compel people to go for training, and to not to eat certain things, or to eat less of those things, or not even to drink sour things, or etc., etc. Power says you know where they come from. Oh, you want to come back here, another one?
Yes, sir. I thought maybe you are going to raise this thing because when you first engage with your tool of analysis, I thought you are coming to this one. I don't know how you didn't pick it up as a recommendation. The very last sentence. Consideration of the review of certain policies. You see, Chair, we deal with international community. If they are saying we must review certain policies, they must just unpack it. Maybe are we irrelevant to the international community, or is talking to our police department? So they just must unpack this one because this is very key. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
The politics are ours. They are not for
the
Okay. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Members, for all those very good, interesting questions. Maybe we can start with the ethics one, and let me quickly give you some information about what the requirements for ethics. So in our standards, so to be level 3 in the standard, we're requiring that all senior managers complete the financial disclosures. These were signed by the EA and submitted to the Public Service Commission on time, which is the 31st of May of all year. All disciplinary actions have been taken against senior managers who do not complete financial disclosures. So, because yes, we do accept and acknowledge that sometimes managers don't do their part of their work. So first thing is we need managers to have gone and done their disclosures, but we give the department space. If they have at least acted disciplinarily against those managers that did not comply, we will still give them the standards. And our assessment says that not everyone did complete the financial disclosure on time, and there was no evidence that the department acted against those members. So that's the first part. And then the other part of what we require is the department has a mechanism of providing communicating the code of conduct to new and existing employees. So yes, you have a code of conduct for public servants and how they should behave. And we want to see that the department are actively making everybody aware of the code of conduct. So the one aspect that the department, so they seem to are making people aware of the code of conduct and those things, but the one aspect they did miss was the signing of that. So maybe it's unnamed. we put it under ethics, but it's about financial disclosures and those type of things. So that's ethics, and I hope that should have clarified what we measure under ethics. The level 4, just to mention to you, for us is once the department, once people have done financial disclosures, and the whole logic behind having financial disclosures in place is then the department must do assessment and try and identify conflicts, areas of conflict of interest. So then, you know, they must do some analysis and say, okay, you can't put ink on a bid committee because he's got interest in companies that are bidding for the work, and that's their whole intention behind the policy. So that's the level 4. Then the question.
You see, this thing is going to be important also. You do know that the legislation that has been passed by Parliament, the Public Administration and Management Act, which the President has assented to, but starting to come into effect. One of the things that they fixed to do is to actually prevent bank servants from doing business with government. So this disclosure will also need to protect that process. So that's why it is important.
And right from that, is vetting not the same? Is vetting compulsory only when you apply for jobs in the state and at certain level, or is it now all levels? Because people who are reluctant or refuse to disclose their financial interest so that you can check, you can do some lifestyle audit. You can catch them when you do the vetting. When you speak, you can check whether, you can also say whether in your evaluation of departments you also check compliance with people who are supposed to be vetted or levels of managers who are supposed to be vetted and have not been vetted. Thank you.
Thank you, Sylvia. On the vetting at appointment, all public servants are vetted. But also what will happen in this level four, where we talk about the analysis of financial disclosures, what departments are meant to do as well is to verify against the, it used to be called CPRO, but it's now, I think they changed the name, but it's now a... It's where you can get all directors and everybody in company, and they actually run queries and see where my name appears as directors and having shares in certain institutions, and I don't understand. So vetting is a standard process for all appointments, but I think, it's a policy that came in, probably 10 years ago or so. So there's a lot of public servants that haven't been vetted because they were already into the system at that time. So then when we talk about supply skills in supply chain management, and we know, we acknowledge it's a huge problem. So what we've done from our side is to come up with case studies. And so we've got various case studies on what does good supply chain management look like in the public service. We also publish on an annual basis the department that scores four in all standards, or not in all the department that scores four in each specific standard. So what our aim is as well is to get the departments to learn from each other. And specifically, let's say if I'm in a province, I can look out and say who's close to me that have fixed the problem. The agents of higher education, treasury itself, because they're the policy owner of supply chain, so they have engagements with higher education department, and they also through school of government have various skills development programs and stuff in place to assist with supply chain management. And I think also government has acknowledged that we have to do something probably different to fix supply chains. So now what Treasury has also done is created the Chief Procurement Office, and it's they which would be responsible to drive supply chain and fix and get it run properly in the public service. So our standard on disposal management doesn't really go much into, it's not asset management. It's just let's say your cups in some of the embassies got chipped and they broke it, but they're not fully broken. It's how do you dispose of it? Do you sell it? Or if you've got old computers or discount equipment, how do you dispose of it? And then you've got to dispose of it to get the maximum economical value and all those things out of it. So that's what you should focus on. What we call disposal management. That's what that one checks. And then it doesn't go into asset management. And like I said in the beginning, it's something we will start focusing on in the next year to come. Audit committee, I think why they're not a four and is also the assessment of the quality of the operations of the audit committee. So it's the same one as the one for internal audit. So from our evidence and apologies, I think we probably could state that just a reminder, this was September last year, situation.
Go on, Mr. Bumar.
Thank you, sir. I also agree that, I think the message is not good on the
the PMD is the performance management and development. The senior management one is implemented and applied, but there seems to be problems with the 1 to 12. So I think we would definitely agree with your assessment that the message that things are. Basically, how the system works is each department has to define their own performance management system. So from levels 1 to 12, the department defines their own system based on a framework set by DPSA, and then they have to apply that system. But it's mostly, majority of departments have a system where you come up with a performance agreement, and then you are really assessed against the performance agreement and those things. So I think on that one, we definitely agree with your assessment. Discipline cases, yes. I think, like I say, we do with acknowledge and say, you know, maybe I assume the Department of International Relations, you know, maybe cases happen somewhere in a very far away place, and you've got to get investigators out there to assess the situations and those things. But I think for us, it's still an area we're seeing too many delays of these finalization of discipline cases, and I'm sure the department can have special technologies and these things to finalize these assessments. So we would accept and acknowledge that it might be a little bit more difficult, but I think the principle is still we're delaying too much on these ones. I think the diversity score is basically that I think we said the department only has 40% of females in the senior management. The target is 50%. And again, I have to say this is as of 30 September last year. And they below that 0.56% of people with disability, where the target is 2%. So I think that's where that score comes from. And I think I did also mention they don't submit the implementation reports against some of the diversity plans and stuff. Then I think there was the whole thing about consequences, and we as DPNE has got no legal authority to charge anybody. So I think for us, we publish these results every year, and we engage with yourselves, portfolio committees and stuff, to try and see how we can all work on holding people accountable and all of that. We don't have ability to charge anybody, and that's the current legal system. The wellness one, the wellness standard would require the department to have a few policies in place. They first have to have an HIV and AIDS and a TB management policy in place. They have to have a health and productivity management policy. They have to have a safety, health, environment, risk and quality policy in place. And then they must have a wellness management policy in place. And again, I think we as DPME and DPSA are saying, yes, it's important. We have to manage and ensure wellness of our employees, and it's a lot about safety. So I think if I remember right, the wellness, the department don't have all these policies approved yet, or at that time. So hopefully by now they have those policies approved, and then, you know, we would want to see them implement those policies. How are they ensuring and creating a safe environment for their staff to work in and a healthy environment? And yes, I think, what do they say, a healthy body and a healthy mind and all those type of things. So I think that's the health and wellness one. Honourable Member, I wasn't sure about your question about the PFMA. I assume it's about the PFMA delegations that you asked. That one is just what we're measuring is, remember the PSMA vests the interest or the responsibility for the acts with the accounting officer, with the DG. But the DG is not compelled but recommended that the DG does delegate authority down to lower levels so that the delegation are given at a space, you know, where the decisions are made, that those people have delegations in place to actually perform all the tasks. So our assessment, and you will see it correlates with the public service delegation, the one that says 3-2-6. So it does seem the department and the DG and the minister have the culture or the culture in place to delegate to appropriate levels so that people are empowered to do their job. We do find sometimes where there's not that practice, but in this department it seems to be quite well that practice. Chair, I think the advice to the president on whether we pick the right one, I think that's the one where we say, unfortunately, I'm just looking at management practice, so payment of suppliers, yes, it's true, they have the money, and they should pay them on time. And we've said over and over, it's possible to do it. But unfortunately, in practice, the department did fail to pay some suppliers on time. So yes. But then we said, what we want them to do and need them to do is try and analyze and identify why did they not pay those suppliers in time. So let's learn lessons from our mistakes and then obviously put systems and processes in place to try and ensure that it doesn't happen again. Because unfortunately, if we going to do everything the same, we're not going to change, you know? Things are going to stay the same. And I was reminded of, I mean, the president has, at some stage, the challenge the management of the public service. He said, we can't keep on doing the same things over and over and expect different results. So we keep on doing it. So for us, it's really about just heads. Yes, we don't approve it if you don't pay people on time, but we also want you to learn from it and put the necessary steps in place to fix that. And then, on the last one, there's the policy reviews. I think maybe we should also look at our wording. There's two different things. Remember when I said the one on monitoring and evaluation, the third standard. The one thing that we're saying, the department should have processes in place to evaluate their own policies and see whether their policies are really achieving the impacts and outcomes that they envisage. So that's the one part. But we're also saying from our point of view that some of the policies like the PFMA and the Public Service Act and that guide these management practices, some of them also need to be reviewed. So I think it's two things. It's one, where we will review policies, administrative policies, but we would want the department to start the practice of evaluating their own policies. There is a national evaluation plan in place. There's quite a lot of support that our department will be able to provide the department to do that. So Jay, thank you. I hope I answered all the questions.
You did answer all the questions, and thank you very much for your presentation. We are more educated now and ready for a constructive engagement with the department this afternoon. That brings us to the end of this session, and I'm told that the Honorable Dudley halal lunch is served at 12:30. until that and said. Yeah. We have one-hour lunch, isn't it? Where? Yes. The next meeting is also here. Okay. And thank you very much, honorable member and colleagues. Just do the correction. The meeting is at 2. Yeah, we have lunch here. 1:30 we engage with department.
So, you got the appointment now. You get money back.
Thank you.
I suspect we're beginning to connect and I would imagine we can start with our business. I would like to declare the meeting open and welcome the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, led by Deputy Minister Lenda, and of course the most senior official, the Director General. You know Ambassador Internet.
Yes.
I would always say all others are directors, I direct generally. But also welcome the office of the Auditor General, and of course my colleagues, the honorable members and the other staff. This morning I indicated that we came from a short distance, and I would imagine we all come decorated to comment business of Taiwan. Well, because we appreciate a presentation from the Asian office, the Asian office is not prepared to be part of this meeting, because we have had a discussion with you. You are free to eat if you want to, but you are also free to stay, except that you will not be invited in this session. You have a check on your way. That's the only thing. So, the department will comment and contribute to that.
Well,
what are you saying without the chair hearing? With that, let's refer to GM Lender to walk us through. Noting that this process has come in very timely, because we must finish with this process because we are headed for the BRRR. Apparently by next week, the BRRR report must begin, and the Minister of Finance will be presenting what is known as mini finance. So it's a very tight kind of process. And with that, let's defer to you, my leader.
Chairperson, thank you very much for this opportunity. That kind of behavior in the portfolio committee requires the department to account for the activities that they relate to the performance of budgets as contained in the annual report. But by way of contextualizing what we're going to do today, I want to, with your permission, just put before the portfolio committee some key highlights so that we understand where we're coming from. Firstly, it's important to remember that the African agenda forms the background of our foreign policy objectives. We make the point that GERCO has recorded many successes in pursuit of regional peace and stability.